It's a midwife crisis.
That's when you look at your life and think, am I really cut out for midwifery?
Oh, I get that a lot.
What the?
What?
Something wrecked my flower bed. It's crushed, look.
Oh, no. I bet it was your dog.
Spiny? Of course it wasn't. You take that back. I know my dog. Stop talking garbage about Spiny.
Jeesh, man, I'm just saying. Your dog runs around out there and digs stuff up, and it was probably him.
I swear to God, you better stop. You do not know Spiny or me or anything about flowers.
Butchie.
Go to hell.
Well, what did it then?
Uranus. The planet Uranus is in Capricorn, and this syzygy energy flattened them. Because I'm a Scorpio.
I think more likely it was the dog.
If I had a knife handy, I would stab your throat, you lying piece of mess.
Dang, man, look. Look, you know, I don't actually know.
What?
I'm sorry. I'm wrong. I have no proof it was Spiny.
You mean that?
I don't want to lose you as a friend, man.
I feel the same way.
It was probably Uranus.
Probably?
No, it was definitely Uranus. I love you.
I love you too, man. I'm sorry I blew up like that. I hate my temper.
That's okay.
It's just that I get passionate about the truth.
I know, it's cool. I'm just glad we're tied again.
Hug?
Sure. Love you, man.
Me too.
What's this love fest about?
Oh, hey, we're just reconciling.
About what?
Well, Butchie's flower bed got leveled by the planet Uranus's cosmic waves, and I was insisting it was the dog. But I finally had the courage to admit that I was wrong.
And I respect that, man. Even though you were so wrong, you came around. That takes guts.
Thanks, man.
It was the dog.
Hardy, please, we just made peace.
What did you say?
You're both wrong. It was the dog. I saw him.
Liar!
What the heck, Butchie?
Hardy, please. I thought you were all pro-love and harmony.
I am, but I can see you think something else might have wrecked the bed. But Uranus?
Hey, something wrecked them.
You are a terrible person. Even if we are wrong, which we aren't, why is that more important than peace?
Because you built that peace on a lie, on sandy soil. The next time the flower bed gets wrecked and Uranus isn't around, you'll do mental gymnastics to make it all fit. Eventually, you'll have all your beds crushed because you never stopped the dog.
What crap? He admitted he was wrong. If he goes back on that, then I'm wrong. How is that fair?
Butchie, that's how the truth works. Look, the scientist who thought nerve impulses were always electrical had to give in eventually to the chemical guys. If they all came over to his side, just for unity's sake, neuroscience would have stopped right there.
So you're saying we have to undo the fake piece and go back to being contentious and try again?
Well, unfortunately, maybe. Unless you agree to look for the truth together. Butchie, right, look, right now, the dog is tearing up the flowers. Look, right now.
Oh, no, I'm not falling for that.
He's not lying, Butchie. Spiny is digging up the bed right now.
You guys have no shame. You sicken me. You both have decided that you do not want peace.
Butch.
Nothing more to say. Out.
Really?
Get out.
Okay, it's Uranus.
It's Uranus. You're right, Butch.
There, isn't that easy? Now we just sit down and have breakfast and enjoy the lovely things from my garden. Also, if my garden gets wrecked again, I'm blaming you guys because you probably made Uranus mad.
Fair enough.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now in the Radio Cafe, where every table is taken up, except for my two-top with a spare chair. You're gonna have to sit there. Do you want your coffee or not? Oh, the things you have to bear to sit there in the only chair. Something, something, something. Oh, I'm not gonna stop talking either.
Oh, please sit with me.
I was so lonely, I wanna join you.
Oh, Hardy, I love you so much.
I love you too, Meemaw.
But don't ever tell me what you believe.
Oh, I never would do that.
Because then I might not love you.
I know that. Oh, my goodness, my friends. It's so... Oh, the soup is good, by the way, Meemaw.
It's not soup. It's the blood of angels.
All right, whatever you want it to be. My friends, I want to share my life with you today. Oh, there's so many things on my mind. I've already forgotten what most of them are.
So I'm glad that really the only thing I need to do is keep you company. That is such a low bar. And what is a low bar? Do you mean literally a little inn, like a little tavern, that kind of bar? No. What are you talking about? Again, I don't know. I just feel like I need to distract you. Maybe you're driving on your way to commit some sort of violence, and now I'm made you forget what it is, and you're just going to drive around town until you're exhausted and then fall asleep in your front seat with a candy bar wrapper in your hand. That's good. Then we've saved both of us, haven't you? Oh, my friends. Friends, it's so easy to love you because I don't know you. That is, people say, it's difficult to love strangers, Hardy. No, that's easy. Because I can imagine you being whoever. I don't have to see, I don't hear you yelling back at the radio, shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up. Right? So of course I can love you. Project all my love and goodwill out there. Because it's just, you're a hypothetical you to me. And it's funny how I err on the side that you're peaceful and full of love and a good person. But who knows? Now, if I knew you and I had to love you, if you're my half-brother, Hale White, who is evil, it would be more difficult. So how do you know he's evil? Because I know him. I know I've seen him, watch him do things and make decisions and everything. But you don't still love him? What about unconditional love? If somebody is stabbing you repeatedly and cursing your name as you lie there and you still love them, maybe what you're doing is not love. Who knows? I don't mean to question things. I do, though. I had questions. This is ironic, but only after I left school did I have questions. If only I'd known that I'd just raise my hand and say to the teacher, hey, you know, I have a question. What? Can I go to the bathroom? And she would say, I don't know, can you? And I'd say, let's see, I'll call your bluff. Yes? So, I'm sorry, go to the bathroom. For me, is a euphemism for urinate. I meant, may I urinate, is what I should have said. Oh, what we learn. We have so many things in our head. Do we know where they came from, even? Have you ever looked for the label on it? Take any kind of idea or anything that's in your mind as if it were an ashtray from Las Vegas. Did you buy it or steal it? Turn it over. And then look, there should be a little thing that says made in occupied Japan on the back or something. Could be made anywhere. All your ideas came from somewhere. They have a point of origin. If you've ever seen the Antiques Roadshow, they'll turn over something like a piece of silver, the silver spittoon or something. And they go, oh, I brought my silver spittoon. And the appraiser will go, I'm going to turn it over. And the owner will go, no, wait. Because he forgot to empty it. But after they get that, they edit that out. The gallon of spittle being poured upon the lap of either Leslie or Lyle. What is one of the twins? Anyway, no, they're furniture guys. So he's looking and saying, now look at this stamp. The silversmith, I think that's right, has stamped a code on there. Say, this is mine. This is my silver. Did you come up with the idea of a spittoon? No. But you made that one. Yes. So you're not saying the idea is yours. You're saying just literally you made this. Yes. So you want credit for that? I guess so. But you sold it, right? So it's not yours anymore anyway. I made it. It's my spittoon. Does it matter who made it? Oh, I think it does when it comes to ideas. Trace the source. They say follow the money. I say follow the monkey. The monkey is a little idea in your head. Jumping around in there can make you do all sorts of things. The monkey in me makes me do all the things I do. By Hardy White. There's a monkey in me. He lives in my head, and sometimes he pushes against my eyeballs and I mistake it for sinus pain. But it's really just the monkey. He wants to come out and play. Sometimes he'll poke out through my ears and people say, there's a furry tiny finger coming out of your ear. And I go, no, I'm just over 50 and I have a lot of ear hair. Oh, that's it. And you know, no, not my nose either. But there is a monkey in my head. He lives in there, and he was put there because I have ingested monkey seeds over the years. What are monkey seeds? They're in everything. I found out poetry. They're in literature. They're on TV shows. They're in conversations between your grandparents that you're overhearing because you're hiding yourself in the cabinet. They're not going to get me, and I got my new tape recorder, and I'm going to tape recorder Grandma and Grandpa talking, and I'm going to listen back to it later.
Should we get the drapes renewed?
I think we should get the drapes done.
I would like them to be a peach color.
Peach? Like a pink?
Not pink, peach!
Like that. Oh, and those are just those are monkey seeds, too. See, I might have something against the color peach. Because of when I spied on my grandfather, I found out he didn't like it. And maybe I changed the way I thought so that he would love me. Now that I know that my grandfather doesn't, or no, he liked the color peach. Oh, I got that memory backwards. It's my grandmother who doesn't. But he did like, but I like peaches as well. I don't mean to go off on a tangent. I know tangents are like branches, though, I find. So when I'm discussing something, I say, I'm going to go out on this tangent. They end. Right? You go out and you go, ah, or you could fall off. But usually I find my way back. Oh, whoops. You know, I better get back to the actual trunk of the tree. So I get back. If you tune out while I'm halfway down a branch, you'll think, this guy's just rambling. I swear on the tree of life that I really do come back to it. And so I know what I'm talking about. We started it at the beginning. It has to do with truth and love and can they be reconciled? Can we love one another and still search for the truth? What if I'm wrong? What if you're wrong? I can't be, I've decided that I take the coward's way to not say anything, then I won't be wrong. That is the coward's way. It's best to say things and contribute, just like everything is science if we're going for the truth. So you're bad, we need your bad poems and we need your wrong poems. They have to go out there. I have to be able to have something for somebody to contradict. And if I don't put it out there and if I don't state anything unequivocally, well, all I've done is I'll never be wrong, and I'll never be right, and nobody will be able to find out. Ah, I will have fooled them. Yes. But let's think about it. What I've just given you is just lies, a false foundation on which to build our relationship, and you're going to love me for all the wrong reasons. I don't know if that's worth it. So I say this. Why can't we make a pact to search for the truth together? And we'll just tolerate one another as if we're explorers and we've gone into the wilderness like Booth and Kitchens, the famous explorers. So Booth and Kitchens, they didn't necessarily like one another. You know that. You know that. You know the story. You learned it in school. But Booth was good with maps and Kitchen with guns and knives and things like that. And they needed one another. And so while Booth was looking in his maps, as they would walk through the forest, Kitchen was looking up and paying attention. And they were searching together for this truth. Kitchen didn't say, follow me, do as I do. They shared it. They all had different ways of contributing. I've been rebuked many times in my life, say, Hardy, you're wrong. Sometimes I admit it. Sometimes I don't. But I try not to ever give in for what they say, just to make peace. And to do that, you have to learn to be contentious in a way that's not violent, you know, because you always want to bend it without breaking it. Oh, we can do that. Don't break those bonds with somebody you disagree with. Bend them all you want, but what's this breaking stuff? One of you is wrong. That's the thing that's hard to get. Oh, you think, oh, we're going to compromise eventually. No, it's not usually. Sometimes it's just one of you is wrong. And that's a hard thing. No one wants to be ostracized. What's that mean? Sent to Bone Island? Ossabuco? We get bone ostracized to be put out, to be on the Bone Island. The island of bones. There's no living things here. I must live among skeletons. I'm on a skeleton ship. I've been ostracized by my fellow human beings. They no longer accept me. But you know what? I just realized that they were on an ice ship, and it melted. I'm on a real ship. I might be with skeletons. Oh, and look, there's others here. Oh, friends in the truth, you are sailing with me down the ocean of fate. And other words that would trigger in you some intellectual stimulation. What's he talking about? Nothing. I noticed I was reading somebody's internet argument the other day, and I do so with a mixture of amusement and amusement. I really get really angry at them because I don't know. I'm not going to tell you my real secret to not getting angry with it, because you won't like me as much, I think. Okay, I'll tell you. Condescension. So it helps. I look at it and go, people are, oh, y'all are idiots. So I was looking at this fellow who's making, I don't really think, no, bless y'all, it's me who's humble. I just use that as a device. You see what I'm saying? I know I'm the idiot, but it really helps. Sometimes I do anything not to, to stave off anger and madness. So just let me. And I looked at this argument, and there was a person said the most nonsensical thing. And it sounded philosophical, you know, but he was chiding somebody. He was telling them off. I think he was in the wrong, because his opinion was the silliest and the least in touch with what was real. And yet, and he used these wonderful analogies, and you could tell he was impressing himself because he was in love with his own circular reasoning. You know, so he's spouting nonsense. And you can see heads nodding like that. Sometimes what you're nodding at, it sounds like music. You know, but listen, why don't you listen to the words? Love American style, truer than the red, white, and blue. Ooh, ooh, that sounds good. I want love to be true. Love American style, it's me and you. That's right. Out by the dawn's early light, I will defend your right to go, or something like that. Oh, no. Song's actually about love being temporary, love them and leave them. I don't want that to be American style. So I don't want to say that's the theme. I look closer. The closer at things. Did you ever see those films, and they'll say, oh, they zoom in on something. And they go, look, what's this repulsive thing? Household item. What's this other repulsive thing? Household item. What's this repulsive thing? Your hand, or something like that. And it all looks crazy from up close. All the details. Don't be afraid. I think that fear. I'm the first one to say this, I'm afraid. That fear is really what's crippling everybody. So afraid. What are you afraid of? Death, dying, dismemberment, being alone. Oh, please, get a handle on it, because I think fear can wreck things so desperately. Oh, and it goes into anger and everything. I know this. I just don't want... I travel through time a lot. And there's a couple things I notice. One is about the worst thing is getting a sword in the face. You say, oh, well, that doesn't happen so much anymore. It did for a long time. You know, somebody comes, think you're living your life somewhere, and then you go, who are these people? Why am I family being killed? Why am I being kidnapped or something? Why is there a sword in my face? As my friend Rodolfo said during the siege of Milan in the 12th century, what's going on here? Not that. No, it wasn't funny at the time. You know, so many hundreds of years have passed that I've come to terms with it. But, oh my goodness, so much of the foundation of our whole world is based on crazy, crazy lies and everything people come up with. Hard to know how we even manage it all. That's why it all seems dreamlike and weird, doesn't it? Because we have to accept all of the untruths in our lives. They're mixed in there with everything else. And you think, how am I getting around this? I like bread. Why do I have to eat around the raisins? Ah, because of this horrible lie that the raisins are edible. That's a bad... If you like raisins, I'm sorry, that's a terrible analogy. Let's say they're boogers or something in your bread. I wouldn't eat bread like that. If there weren't any bread, you'd pick them out and you'd eat the bread. You know? So there you go. In this imaginary scenario, that's the only bread in town. It's the nasty bread with no dirt in it. I think they call it that. That's what I call regular raisin bread. But y'all, that's just my taste. And I could be, Hardy, you're wrong. I'm wrong. Raisins are edible. I saw people eat them and they're fine, so everything is good. I like them in cereal, but I digress. This branch is very short, the raisin branch. I'm going to come back in it. And I can see out there a little farther on the branch, there's people dressed in costumes and everything singing songs, but I'm not going to go there. I'm going to come back to the trunk with you. Oh, because that's not the only thing. There's a couple things they call a trunk. One, the main part of a tree. Two, a giant box-like suitcase in which you keep your ventriloquist dummy and your papers and things like that and your army blanket.
and the trunk of an elephant. An elephant, which is the center of a story, a fable that I tell all the time about blind people feeling up the elephant. And you say, is there a conclusion to that story? Yes, the elephant eventually got them to stop them touching him. And he said, please just, why don't you just ask me or something? Why do you feel like you can put your hands all over me? Say, oh, his ears are flat like a pancake. Elephant's thinking, get your hand off my ear, especially when the other fella has his hand on my rear end. You're making me super uncomfortable. If you can't see the elephant, first ask the elephant. I'm not
saying anything.
I need to come out and do... I travel in time so much, I'm actually not sure what's going on in any given time. That's why I try not to comment, because I'm always wrong. I know I'm going to start on a rant about Horace Greeley, and you'll go, Hardy, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I'll go, what, Horace, come on. He's ridiculous.
But you'll say, he's not pertinent anymore. It's not the 1870s or the 60s or whatever. Okay, whatever. My friend, when I first turned on the radio as a child, what did I hear? I heard music. And then I heard people speaking to me. And I thought, where is this voice coming from? Then I saw the Flintstones. And I realized that that voice was probably coming from a creature that was in the box. And that if I unplugged it, perhaps the creature would die. I never wanted to do that. Now, some children are sadistic, say, I'm going to unplug it and see if the creature dies. And then they mistake maybe the smell of ozone from the tubes for the decaying corpse of the radio creature. But I never wanted to test that. Oh, if there was a tiny living being in my radio, I never wanted it to die. If it was a bird, Birds made me feel so tender. I've always felt the protector of all birds. And I know you can look at him and you can say, what is it? I don't know. I've misplaced my affection. I've misplaced my compassion. I have misplaced it onto little birds. And that's terrible because they're so vulnerable and helpless and all. I've even had pet birds, which I don't recommend. I don't like having pet birds. You got to put them in something that's against their nature and everything to be in cages and all for just us for to admire. It's sick, and I had to admit I was wrong. But I had a pet bird, you know, and I've seen them die. My little bird, my cockatiel. Oh, sweet cockatiel! It would talk to me. It would say, "Pretty, how pretty." You're the pretty one, I'd say. But my goodness. And each time my heart, every time I find a baby bird in the yard or something, heart gets broken, you know, when I try to save it. And so somebody was telling me one time, why is trying to save a blue jay baby like that? They're annoying. I go, I don't know. I'm trying to override this, but I realize it's not a good thing. It's a weakness somehow. What is it? What makes me overly sentimental or tender about something? But what if I shut it off? What if I shut it off and that's what's keeping me from being a monster or something? So I try to leave some of those impulses in there, you know, and just let my heart and my brain try to get along, even though they don't always agree. So my heart really wants to give in and really wants to love you and really wants to agree with you. And my brain says, no, we can't. You'll be living a lie. Oh, so what do we do in the interim? How do we learn to tolerate one another while one of us is learning to be wrong? Let me say that again. How do we learn to tolerate each other while one of us is learning to be wrong, perhaps? I don't know. I don't mean to change the subject, but I will. And if you listen to the beginning of the show, you will notice that a lot of the times Butchie and all are having coffee. So coffee. Coffee is very delicious. Oh, I love it. I love it. Do you put sugar in your coffee? I don't personally. A lot of people do put sugar in their coffee. Now, if you were to have sugar in your coffee
in, let's say it's the late 18th century or something, you're just hanging around having sugar in your coffee. That sugar has cost millions and millions and millions of lives. That sugar's basically, and the coffee, been provided you from a plantation run by Satan. And he's using human lives to give you that wonderful thing. Now, you don't have to admit that. Go and enjoy your coffee back there in the 18th century. Say, well, I'm just going to overlook that. Or perhaps that's just the price of a good coffee. Oh, whichever path you take, though, that's your soul. Do you really want to build that on that false, on that delusion? Or would you like it if you could have something like that without the cost of a million lives and pain? Would you like to be able to come off of the side of the devil? Oh, enlighten your spirits and lighten your heart. I know that you're always trying to love, but you're always devoted to the truth. And if that means being alone and floating out there in space like Major Tom, then so be it. Because you don't want, you don't want that house that's built on icky ground. I used to have this recurring dream, and I haven't had it for a while. But I would be in this house, and it was kind of like one I used to live in. And there was a river behind it. And every time I'd have this dream, the river was getting closer. The ground was eroding. And I'd say, man, there's a lot less backyard than there used to be. The river getting, now this is reality for some people's houses. River's getting closer and closer. River's getting bigger. Backyard's getting smaller. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't think this land is going to be here much longer. Then what? The house was built upon it. Oh, I have to admit, at some point I must have to flee and say, as much as I like this house, I can't be in denial about the fact that it was built on this thing that's going to erode and be gone. Do y'all want to get with me? Do y'all want to leave? Come on, before it gets crushed. Oh, my friends, flee from the house of, what is it, illusion, and step out into the stark reality. And if you don't, you won't be able to love, because your heart is veiled with ignorance. Boom, 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 boom. Oh, my goodness. Oh, that, those people seem to have it so together. Yeah, well, you can lie to yourself and have all sorts of unity. But the truth, sometimes you'll have to be a solitary figure. You know that. You've seen it in your own myths. I've been watching a lot of the Globetrotters cartoons to get back in touch with my morality. They show up with their American-style love, working together. All of them have different strengths. And they've even incorporated their humor and their nonconformity into their strengths, and they become something great together, those cartoon Harlem Globetrotters. So then, when they encounter a little boy whose farm is about to be repossessed by a wicked banker, they'll say, we'll save your farm and your cow, little boy. We'll the five of us, even though we're basketball players, will go and enter that rodeo, and we're going to win the money for you. Then we're going to play an exhibition basketball game. You see what I'm saying? So, but they do that by working together. That, to me, is love American style. I wish their red, white, and blue jumpsuits were available to the public, their warm-up suits. I'd like to wear one in tribute to the cartoon, not the real-life ones. I'm not worried about that, but the cartoon Harlem Globetrotters really are so, I'm so stuck on them right now. So I'm in love. Oh, and the music is great, too, by the way. I highly recommend it if you could seek those out. You're going to hear some, maybe some secret Neil Sedaka in there. I'm not even kidding you. Oh, I want to give thanks right now like I'm eating at a meal. I want to give thanks right now and say I recognize that there is so much that was not my doing that brought this beautiful food before me. And by beautiful food, I mean you. Oh, I'm not going to eat you. No, no, no. I know that you're just decoration food, that you're plastic. But that's good, too. But I look out upon you and I say, I'll give thanks that you're here with me. Perhaps you're just the fellow diners. Maybe that was a bad analogy. Perhaps you're not my plastic
fake broccoli or something. When I visited France, it never would have occurred to me that there would be thousands of fake plastic cheeses in one place. But when I visited the town of Roquefort, where they make the blue cheese, the famous Roquefort blue cheese, I visited the what they call the caves, which we would call a cave or a cave. And it's where they do the affinage of the cheese. After it's made, they let it sit there. They now inject mold into it. They used to let it just, the cave had natural mold, but that's kind of a crapshoot. So now they inject it, but they let it sit in this cave. I visited the cave at the time of the year when the cheeses weren't in affinage. They were elsewhere. They weren't ready. And so the cheese company had commissioned thousands of fake plastic cheeses to look like round, made exactly like a round wheel of Roquefort that was just put in there, yet to be moldy. And so that you could, the tourists could come in and say, ooh, that's what it looks like when there are cheeses in here. But there were no cheeses in there. And they told us that they were not real cheeses. They weren't trying to deceive us. And that's good, because it worked. It gave me the feeling of knowing what it was like when it was a full cave. But they weren't trying to deceive, even though I knew it was phony. It didn't affect the experience. Don't ask to be lied to. It won't wreck it for you. Get the truth. It's still an interesting tour. All right? And the interest, this is a funny thing. The name of the cheese company, Societe. In that, oh, that's so deep, Artie. It's so deep. It goes like deep like a cheese plug when they're sticking that thing in to get a sample. Just like they do, say, what's the in part of the inner part of the cheese look? They stick a plug in, like a tube in it, just like they do in the ground to get soil samples. And they pull it up like that. Then they take the cheese out. And they got the, oh, I got a cheese plug. What am I going to do with it? Well, I could look at it, first of all. Oh, my friend, have I given you too much information about cheese? I didn't turn the radio on to learn about cheese, you say? Well, maybe I'm talking about something else. I remember going to a church service one time, and when I was little. And I'm leaving the church service, and I heard an old man say, I don't like that preacher. He never talks about Jesus. He just kept talking about some lamb. Like that. And I went, wow, what a profound misunderstanding we have right there. What a profound misunderstanding. I wonder if that ever got cleared up. That's what I see sometime when I'm looking out there in the world. I hear in one ear something from somebody, and I hear another ear something, and I go, boy, are they not on the same page. I wonder why. Who is profiting from their estrangement? Who is profiting? What would it, imagine a world where we did love one another. What would there not be? Figure that out, and then figure out who's running the thing that wouldn't be there now, for instance. So if we all loved, I'm going to give a ridiculous example because I don't want to give an obvious one. Say, if we lived in a perfect world, if we all loved one another, we wouldn't need dry cleaning establishments. We wouldn't need dry cleaning franchises. You'd say, like that was an obvious thing. So, okay, then that makes you wonder about who's profiting from dry cleaning franchises now. Are they participating in keeping us from loving one another because they know that's the only way to perpetuate their business? Perhaps. If the devil is in the business of war, do you think that it's in his best interest to advocate peace? No.
Oh, hearty white, I wish I was at a cafe and got stuck at your table because I don't think I'd ever come there voluntarily. I'd love you to think that. That's fine. That's the way I feel sometimes. If I have a choice, you know, I often go for easy things, things that aren't challenging, things that don't make me feel uncomfortable. And there's few times in my life when I have made myself do something uncomfortable. All right? And you have to prepare yourself. You know, let's say I want to have an interaction with somebody I disagree with. Well, you know, first of all, go and train with some kind of Zen Kung Fu man or something. One of those is Japanese and the other is Chinese. Don't contradict me. What I mean is just get yourself in a position to be able to do that.
Go get those skills that you need.
I'd love to if I could give you any skill. What skill do you have, Hardy? Well, I think it's being comfortable with those mistakes, knowing that I'm contributing to something by sort of being an idiot, but by being an idiot who's focused on the truth. So what is the truth? Right. That's what we're trying to get. There you go. Welcome to my side. It's the people that tell you. The people say, what is it? Come on over. If you already know, if you can answer that without a question, then go ahead. You need to do some more work. But I want people with a big question mark on them. Just like Doctor Who's umbrella. Which Doctor Who? The almost the last one. What, seven? Has the umbrella? Bless his heart. You know what's interesting is I'm looking right at a picture of Sylvester McCoy. It says, Hardy White, hi, Sylvester. I had nothing to say to him. It was, could you sign this? The only thing, I think the only Doctor Who I ever talked to for more than 2 seconds is Peter Davison. Because I think, first of all, he's a very welcoming looking person. And also, did I tell you his hands are meatier than you'd think they would be? I guess that's all that veterinary work from delivering, you know, foals and stuff. But I don't know. I told him he was the most important man in my life ever or something. I don't know what I said. But he was very gracious. So, all right, thank you, bye. My friends, I reach out to you now over the airwaves. And they literally are waves. Or are they particles? They're particles and waves. I reach out to you over the air particles. And depending on where you live, the air is, there's more particulate matter in the air than other places, aren't there? Isn't that beautiful? If you do live in a place with lots of smog and everything, the laser show possibilities are better because you can project things on the air than is thick like a movie screen. Oh, this is beautiful. The things we're doing with holograms here in Beijing are lovely. So, air quality. Do we need it? Yes, the air must be some sort of quality. Everything must have an adjective attached to it. So I'm fighting for that, for sure. I would also like to say that I am advocating against horrible things that we do to one another. Let's not lose sight of that. Read some history, go look and see. And if you can make sense of it or you can accept it for 2 seconds, seeing somebody, I've seen people in a suit of armor bashing the brains out of somebody wearing burlap. I said, well, that's not right. Right? And I haven't accepted it. I say, I'm not going to, even though that happened centuries ago, that idea of somebody dressed in armor bashing the brains out of some poor peasant family, I just never get used to that. It's not right. And I guess people justified at the time and everything. I will never. So, and I realize that, and for a couple of reasons. One, I do not want it done to me. Two, I do not want it done to me. Three, I do not want it done to me. Four, I don't want it done to me. Five, I don't want it done to you. Six, I don't want it done to me. So, but you're in there. You're in there. So if we get it done, you're going to benefit. Because really, I don't want it done to you. I can't bear to watch it either. And I hope I've made myself that way. If you've made yourself where you can bear to, then the next step is putting on a suit of armor.
Poodop!
Yes, oh, my friend. If you listen to the sound of my voice, you will notice that you can't anticipate where it's going necessarily. Neither can I. So what's your best thing to do is don't try. Don't try. Your brain will get ahead of you. If you think what you're seeing or what you're hearing, you're going to know what's happening next. And you say, well, that leaves me vulnerable to those videos where you know, say, watch this, there's a ghost. And you're watching it, and you carefully, you're drawn in, and that goes, wah! Like that, and somebody pops up with a scary mask. People don't like that, and so they stop being curious, too. They go, well, what if I'm tricked? Well, what if you are? You're never going to see the real ghost, because you're so afraid of the pop-up mask videos. Am I right?
What is he talking about?
If your friend recommended that you listen to this show, I'm going to generously call it a show, and you're thinking, gosh, I used to think a little more highly of my friend, because I'm wondering why exactly. I would like to just put this out there to you. I had a Japanese visitor not long ago. I've had many Japanese visitors and have connections to people in Japan and have had many friendships. And the one thing that I was never able to see eye to eye with Japanese people before was natto, the fermented soybeans with the consistency of, I don't even want to know, but it's a, like stringy, that smell of vaguely like socks, and there's a stringy consistency to it that is indescribable. There's no equivalent, really. There is among... It's like a glue gun or melted plastic or something. And people have them for breakfast. Now, for years, I rejected this. They can't possibly be good. And so I got some at the Asian grocery store. And I went home and I prepared it as it's recommended. And I found it disgusting. And then I tried it again. And I found it a little less disgusting. And I said to myself, rather than just try this once, I'm going to eat it all week. All right? Because I don't think it's fair to my palate. This is an unusual thing. Of course I'm going to reject it. Maybe I should eat a little more of it. So I ate it all week. Then I started to crave it. Because not only, I don't know if I liked it, but I wanted it again. I think I liked it. And so I wouldn't have known that if I had not just once put myself outside of my comfort, but then do it repeatedly. Let's see how this goes. You know, it's so easy to reject things. It's so easy. And you'll notice it's actually funnier to criticize or to attack, to tear down is usually funnier in a way, you know? I recognize that, and I agree, and I do that too. Did you ever see a bad review of a movie? It can be hilarious. You go, man, wow, that's great creative language. Woohoo, nuts, that's great. You're praising the same movie. There's no way you're going to get that same laugh. There's no way you're going to get the same kind of cleverness and everything. That's all destructive cleverness, and we need it and everything, but when you agree with something, you promote something, oh, gosh, you feel disarmed, don't you? Love feels disarming. In the Bible, there is a story about Daniel. You never heard that? You ever heard of the Bible? Bible says, I vaguely heard about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Very good. King's called Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel. Yeah, I've heard that one. I'm not going to give you a sermon on Daniel. I'd love to, by the way. But I'm not. I'm just going to point out a little something. The king is called Nebuchadnezzar. And the king is obsessed with power and all these things like that. And people bowing down to him and being right and everything. But he finally kind of comes up against somebody who knows a little more. And he finally decides, hey, I really want to know what this power of yours is all about. He says to Daniel. And Daniel says, are you sure? He goes, yes, I have all this power. Now I want
the supreme power. Daniel says, are you sure? Yeah, I got this kingdom. But when Nebuchadnezzar accepts that truth, he loses his kingdom completely. When you get to that top level and you want that ultimate power, you're going to lose all the things that you thought were powerful.
So I've got all these guns. I'm going to go to the next level.
All right, here it is.
Where's all my guns?
There it is. There's the next level. You know? So, warning. Should you come to the side of love, you will find yourself disarmed. You say, I don't have the edge of my weapon is no longer sharp. How am I going to win people over with this padded, what is this even, a swim noodle? I don't know. Perhaps, but it isn't a sword. I was so used to that. Yes, I know. It seems more effective, doesn't it? But whoa. It's built on sand. So, you know, you think you can defy nature. You think you can defy what's real, what's true. You think you can lie to yourself and say there's bedrock under this when there is not. There's bedrock. And rock is going to roll in bedrock. Listen, don't fool yourself. And the most difficult thing is when you stop fooling yourself and you have to leave your social club or something. I'm so sorry, but that won't be lonely. Come on over. As a club... How can there be a club of people not in a club? I know, it's crazy, isn't it? But come on, that's how we work. Oh, look at you. Can you look at you? Don't look at you. Look at me. Don't look at me. You can't look at me. Listen to me. Are you listening to me? Where are your ears? I got them here. They're right with me. All right. You tell me, where's the sound of my voice? And your brain begin. Where does it? That brain. You think, oh, I got this brain. You know what? My voice is palm olive. Your brain, your fingertips. And guess what? Your fingertips are surrounded by palm olive. They're everywhere. They're permeated by it. Your fingertips are in an atmosphere completely taken up by palm olive. My voice right now. So understand that you have dipped tip of your hand into something that is designed to cut grease, but also to soften. All right? So we want to cut through this stuff, but also soften. And we can't do that with the... I could stick your hand in a bowl of razor blades, and it'd be more effective. No, what are you talking about? No, I guess it wouldn't. But, you know, I think it's Bruce Lee who said, be like water. And they said, what do you mean, Bruce? And he was like, you know what? You want to fight? He had a terrible temper. But he's right. You know? The wind and the sun were having an argument. I'm more powerful, said the wind. I'm more powerful, said the sun. I'm more powerful, said the wind. I'm more... Oh, okay. This went on for a long time. Well, one day they saw a man walking down the street with his coat on. And the wind said, I'm so powerful, I can get that coat off that man. I may have got this off Sesame Street. Say, oh, you're... And the wind starts blowing. Well, the man only puts his coat on more. All right? So the sun said, step aside. And the sun comes out, hurls himself at the man, overheating the man. Man dies of being overheated. Passes out. The medics come. What's the first thing they do? Take the coat off. So it's the sun who is more powerful ultimately. You see, poor victim of that. We all are that guy in the coat. Someone's always arguing over who's more powerful, and we're the poor schmuck who gets burned, basically. Who is this fella on the radio? I'm nobody, my friends. I'm the archbishop of everybody else. I'm the head of nobody. Come on over to my side. I'll make you one, too. You're archbishop, too. You're the pope. You're the Pope of everybody who isn't. And I'm your Archbishop. And what we're going to do together is find all the people who've been cast aside in the name of truth. And we're going to round them up. And we're going to say, look, we form, you might have a sword, but I got a swim noodle the size of Canada. And one, two, three, swim noodle beats tiny, tiny, tiny sword. Relatively, right? Scissors, rock, sword, swim noodle. Who knows? Am I getting through to you? I hope not. I don't want to get too far through. Bless your heart. I don't know where you've been. I know where you've been the last 50 minutes, though.
With you?
Yes. But, well, really, you've probably been in, I don't know, Western New York, Minnesota, China. You're in Beijing. Maybe you're in the UK. I bet you are. I bet you in London, or I bet you in Yorkshire, or I bet you in, that's a place, right? Yes. Or I bet you in, maybe you're in Australia. These are all the people I hear from. Maybe you're in California. How about that? Where's the farthest away place you ever heard from? I'd say Louisville, going the other direction. You know, if you go east, Louisville. But let's see, what's on the opposite side of the world? Maybe I've heard from China, plenty. Oh, I have listeners in... Oh, yes, you wouldn't think that, but see, the radio station, they're not mine, per se. You see what I mean? They've got, they're like me. They're afraid if they turn WFMU off, then the little creature inside it will die. And they wouldn't want that. And that, so they keep it on, and then when I come up, they go, there's a little tiny Hardy White in there, too. And we can't figure out a way to get rid of him without killing the rest. So we'll leave him on, and they end up listening. And sometimes they'll say, hey, maybe there's a little captain, or a tiny little kernel of truth in what he says. And they're marching around, and I got to pay attention to him. And their snappy uniform, it's purple. That'd be pretty. I don't want to fight. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to fight, but I will defend to the fight your death speech. Something like that. But I think part of being a friend and loving one another is trusting me, taking me serious and not yelling liar at me. That's what I really want. I see people doing that, people they know. I see friends that think that people have known each other for a long time, thinking the other one's a liar, but not thinking people they don't know, strangers who are giving them information, those people aren't liars, but their friend who they've known their whole life is. Interesting. If you could get somebody to do that, man, that's scary to me. Because you're undoing everything I based my life on, which is personal relationships, right? Trust. I prove to you I'm a good person. I participate in your life and you participate in mine. I welcome you into my home and I feed you and you welcome me into your home. We go to each other's events, to each other's simchas, to joyous events for each other. And we go to each other's sad events. I go to your parents' funeral. You go to my niece's wedding. And we share our lives. And that way you can see the kind of decisions I make and my character over time. Now, for you to come to me and then call me names or question my character or my truthfulness because something you read, written by a stranger, or something that you heard on the TV, said by a stranger, somehow is more truthful than what you know through your experience, I question what's going on. And it worries me. And I think, do I need to make peace or do I need to get to the truth? And then slowly down my cheek, all right, in the fashion of Iron Eyes Cody, a little drop of glycerin rolls. I was making a video with a friend one time, and we needed a tear, and we didn't have glycerin, so we used Sambuca. It looked good. It looked good. I don't know if it burned. I think the person went, ah, my God! Like that afterwards. But for the film. And then we got real, then we got a real tear. So it win-win. Oh, I love your stories. I hope you're saying that. That's what I tell myself you're saying. I'm glad I don't really hear. I don't want to really, really hear, I don't think. Because really not knowing now is keeping. So well, that's not the truth. I'm getting there, too. Oh, my goodness. I don't like the expression work in progress. But, you know, who was it that said, now you're going to yell it and I'm going to go, okay. Someone said a poem is never finished. It's abandoned. And I feel that way with a lot of things. I feel all my shows are like that. I feel like I'm never really finished. I've just abandoned it. Mainly because they cut you off after an hour, which is good. I'm good with that. That's like all-you-can-eat buffets. They need to at some point tell you that's all you can eat because you hurt yourself. So I don't mind. I don't mind doing that. I've learned to take a rebuke or two. I've learned to take criticism. Now, I'm not saying that I can take it all the time or I'm perfect or I don't get mad or I don't explode into a fit of rage, which then causes me to have a hemorrhoid. No, that does happen still. But, gosh, I'm so much better, if you can believe it. And I hope that you, too, can say, you know, I'm strong enough to take it. I'm strong enough to be tested. I'm strong enough to have some of me break and know that the rest can go on. Oh, are you lonely, friends? Oh, I'm up there for you. I know it can be a rough life. A lot of times you'll think, you know, my problems don't seem big next to other people, so I don't want to complain about them. Complain about them to me. Really, just complain about them now. Your pain is always real. Your suffering is always real. We're always trying to work on it. You know, it doesn't matter what caused it. We're trying to get to a place of peace and love, but we got to acknowledge your suffering first. Don't deny it, bury it down, say, I am conflicted. I do have that's about things. Oh, Hardy, I'm so sad. I don't know what's going on. Let it all out. It's all right. Oh, it's all right. Cry about it. Let your heart break. And I'm saying we'll pick it up and we'll put it back together and we'll just keep doing that over and over again together. That's how we'll do it, with love. And yes, that works. I promise you that. So stay with me. Keep going on. Keep getting broken and getting back up again. I have so many friends who inspire me. Oh, I hear from people going through all sorts of struggles. You make me get up every day. You do. Your courage, your strength of the people that I hear from. And, oh, you never heard of them. You never heard of them. But I tell you, they inspire me more than anybody. I'm not just saying that. You know, people out, strangers whose lives I know nothing of do not inspire me. I'm not inspired by composers or artists who I do not know. I'm inspired by people whose lives that I have intimate knowledge of. And who I can see, yes, that's a remarkable person. That person is strong and good. And maybe I could be more like that. Have that kind of courage. And if I could help you, pick you up on that road to getting that courage, I would love to do that for you. That's all I can do is really help you. You lead, and I'll just help wipe you off when you fall or something. And that'll be, I think that's a good arrangement. Yep, I think that'll take care of it. That's the nutrition that you need and the miracle that you deserve. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in the source of great miracles in the future, Rockland County, and WFMU.org online if you're a person inclined to use futuristic sort of technology. Oh, thank you for being with me, my friends, on this wonderful, wonderful WFMU radio station. And join me again. First of all, don't go anywhere, but also join me again next week.
Don't you know I got a life?
To building your immune system up where you will be able to go through this winter and possibly not come down with a cold or come down with the flu, any other virus. That's why you should visit the Spiritual Workshop and ask us what to give you. Sure, we'll give you, my friend, that echinacea. We'll give you that sharp cartridge, the hip, to make sure that that immune system is built up good and strong. You won't be susceptible to flus, to colds, runny nose, headaches, my friend. You need to visit that Spiritual Workshop.
Sweet home, sweet home, sweet home, how I love, Lord, I wonder, will I ever get home, Father? It's a beautiful home. Sweet.
Sweet Home. Sweet, Sweet Home. E.L. Burtis right there in his gospel guitar. Recording for the Designer record label about 1973. E.L. Burtis probably seeing an ad for the Designer record label out of Memphis, Tennessee, in a local program, and journeying there one weekend and making a record that he put out himself. And we're glad he did, E.L. Burtis. And right before that, we heard some unissued Gotham label gospel, acapella gospel, Right to the Tree of Life. Got a right to the Tree of Life. An adamant statement. Probably the Sacred Four